Here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen talk radio show. Today, I will be starting off with a new theme, From My Mama's Kitchen Recommends. For the entire month of August, I will be showcasing authors who have written excellent books that touch the heart and move the soul. My guest this morning is Carol Tuttle, a mom, best-selling author, radio talk show host, speaker, successful businesswoman, and a marathon runner. Carol is the creator of and founder of Energy Profiling and Dressing Your Truth, and she and I will be discussing her latest book, soon to be another bestseller, titled It's Just My Nature, A Guide to Knowing and Living Your True Nature. Her new book reveals an accurate method of assessing your personality and behavior tendencies with a new system called energy profiling. Good morning, Carol. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm excited to have you on the show. I have to tell you, I really enjoyed reading your book, and now that I have a better understanding about who I am, why I did certain things the way I did. But before I reveal my energy profile type, I would like us to talk about your journey to self-discovery. Of course, you're a mom and a successful businesswoman and everything else. Carol, please walk us through your life from childhood to the present moment.
Well, I come from a pretty typical American family, living and growing up in the suburbs. But interestingly, I grew up in an area where there was a lot of attention in the time in which I was. And from the Bay Area, the San Francisco area, and growing up in the 60s there, and then in my teens in the early 70s, that was a hot spot in the country, basically, because the culture at the time, or the historically what was going on in the nation was Vietnam War, a lot of equal rights for women, a lot of attention on homosexuality, and we were just like this hot spot for free thinking and really pushing the envelope. And so I grew up in a pretty liberal environment and was really left to myself in a lot of ways. Didn't have really domineering, or my parents were pretty, they were pretty busy, let's just say. Doing a lot of stuff. So I was pretty much left to myself to figure out who I was and how to maneuver my life. And I got through that phase, and it was bumpy. Had a dysfunctional family, as I think most people in my age group would admit that that's just the scenario of the time. And moved on, went to college in Utah, and set out to become a professional teacher. I was actually a home ec teacher in a town in Utah called Provo High School. I was a second teacher in high school for a few years, but that didn't really speak to me. And interestingly, by age 27, I'd had four of my five children, had them very close in age, and had a very deep emotional meltdown. Some people might even at the time call it a nervous breakdown. And ironically, I'd done everything I'd known in my doing world to do what I thought I had to do to be happy and be successful, and yet my whole approach to life was backwards. It was an attempt to do life rather than be life, and I started out of, and interestingly, that my motivation to get well and figure out what was wrong with me and in my emotional experience was because of my children. My husband was optional at the time. I perceived him at the time as part of the problem, but my children were my motivation. I had these four little kids, six and under, and I knew what was happening to me was going to be rolling over to them, and any damage that I would do as a mother that couldn't function, because I could not function. I was not able to. It was a very revealing day when your psychotherapist looks you in the eyes and says, you can't. I'm either going to check you into a facility for mental health, or you've got to get full-time help in your home, because you're not equipped right now at the emotional state you're in to be mom. Yeah, and that was kind of like, cause, every week I'm going to church saying, hey, my life's good. That was the appearance I put out. Mm-hmm. That everything was fine in my world, which is classic. Everybody, you know, there's
right.
There's a lot of that going on. So, you know, I sucked it up and admitted I was not emotionally well and
mm-hmm.
got the help in my home. I felt that was better off than being put into a mental health facility and started my inner journey. And really, I was thinking about that last night, that it was when 1988,
mm-hmm.
so going on 21 years, that the discovery of Tittle Tuttle started. And that has been an inward journey from that point, and I was thrown into it. My spirit just threw me into it. It was time to get going. I started early in my life. I was 28 years old,
mm-hmm.
and there you go. I was 30 years old at the time. And I know all this because my meltdown happened within months of after my fourth child's birth. And where I thought I'd be in life and where I was
mm-hmm.
completely different than what I thought would be the results by my activities and my investment through my doing world.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a mess. And that started my journey. And I went into psychotherapy, saw a talk therapist every week for 2 years, came out of that with a really good story and a lot of people to blame. Didn't feel well. Still didn't feel well.
Yeah.
Thought I was dealing with crutches at that point. And yet my spiritual philosophy was healing was available. You know, here I was in my spiritual practice. It was I was taught and I aligned myself with it that you could heal from anything. That was available and through the powers that be and the who I worshipped and what I believed was possible through my own Christian faith was that the healing was possible. And yet I was being told by a very conventional medical model that you're going to have to learn to live with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're basically crippled on an emotional plane.
Yeah.
And my nature, I'm a type 3, as we talk about that, people understand I wouldn't settle for that. I'm an adventurer. I'm a pioneer of sorts, and I started on a path to find answers. And I took God nose to nose on it, man, because I was mad. I was so angry because I believed so much that everything I had done was from my best intention and the best I knew how, and feeling literally like I'd been dumped in a place of just despair and suicidal thoughts and not wanting to live and having these four children,
mm-hmm.
and I remember days I would just, like, turn to heaven with my fist and go, I'd like to see you try and come down here and do what I'm doing with four kids, six and under, feeling like I am.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of issues with men, and God was male, and my, you know, at the time my whole perception was I was, you know, this is God's fault, because how in the world can anyone pull this off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that got me going, and it led me to the alternative health world, where I started to actually get some results and get answers, and that's when things started to shift in my life in the early 90s. I discovered rapid eye technology. I got into a whole wellness arena that was unknown, that was seen as woo-woo, that was seen as risky.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, at this point, we've now moved from California to Utah, so I'd moved to from a very liberal culture
mm-hmm.
to a very conventional, very traditional culture. And now I'm going to launch a career in energy healing, which no one even heard of at the time, in a place where, this is what I've done a lot of training of, helping professionals in the healing arts world to become successful as business people. I said, look, if I can do it in Utah in the early 90s, you can do this anywhere. And I've been successful. I just because I've been committed to my message. I know what I teach works. I'm the outcome of that because my husband, you know, and that was just the beginning of a lot of, I've learned in all of this. Every day I have an opportunity to practice being me. I get to practice being my truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the mind is full of lies and illusions that we've acquired through our entire lives. And if I ever think I'm going to be done in the practice of living my truth, now I'm celebrating that, where I used to think I had to arrive at a destination, that somehow I'd get somewhere and I'd just be me and there, you know, life's cool. And I'm just happy consistently. And I'm learning that the happiness is in the process of living the truth of who I am on a daily basis and noticing when I'm not and choosing again. And I've gotten pretty good at that at this point.
Carol, I don't know if there's anything wrong with the line you're calling in, but we do have someone that, and I realized that a little bit also, that the quality of the sound seems to be a little bit off than normal. So I just wanted to mention that to you, if there's anything you can do on your end. But
okay. I'll stay on the line and call on another number, and then I'll hang up on the one I'm in. I get, well, the problem will be.
That sounds great, and as a matter of fact, I believe your husband is on the line, and I think that the sound quality is not good. So I thank you very much, Don, for if you're listening, thank you very much for the input. And so, are we still going to be on the line while you dial the other number, I presume, or are you going to be hanging up and then calling right back?
No, I mean, he's actually right here. John's a type 2, so he's all about the 2000. He's getting me hooked up here.
Hey, you know, I like managers like
this. He's about to switch his phone, so.
Okay. All right. So you're on a new, a different phone now?
No, he's still getting it set up.
Oh, okay. But that's fine. You know, I do want to mention something which is very interesting, because you apparently, because you grew up in a fairly liberal society. I mean, well, when I say society or community in this case, and then in the course of, and then of course moving to Utah, and the perception is Utah is conservative and everything else, and then, which is quite interesting, because a lot of people say that what actually forms our opinion or our, you know, the sort of environmental structuring is when we are growing up between the ages of around 12 to about 18 or so, because that's when we kind of process everything. How is that in some ways, when looking back in time, where, you know, you're looking like, wow, obviously it has enriched your life rather than actually being a, you know, something negative, because I don't look at things as negative, as something that, you know, we need to know. How does that affect you from that perspective?
Well, for an answer to that, I do. We could dial it on another number, mm-hmm. and I don't know if you can see it on your switchboard there.
Let me see here.
5801.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Let me
the one that ends with 5537.
Yes. I've got you on right now. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me on this one?
Oh, yeah, fantastic. Let me turn I'll just go ahead and hang up on the other one then, right?
Okay.
Okay, good. You sound fantastic. Oh, wow, a difference of night and day, my gosh.
Oh, well, good. Glad you noticed that.
You know, and I didn't, I've heard it in the beginning, but I didn't want to say anything. I said, well, maybe, you know, I've not talked to you before, so I, you know, I don't know how you really sound, but then I'm glad that.
Oh, no, I'm known to be loud. So probably it's
wonderful.
A good thing. It's a good thing I'm loud, so if the sound quality was bad, I hopefully came through loud enough.
Yeah, I think they hear you very, very well. So, but I'm glad that we're able to continue with this. But let's go on. I want to ask you this: as a psychological intuitive and energy therapist, please explain to us, what is energy psychology?
Well, we in the world of energy healing or energy psychology, everything's experienced as a vibrational experience at the quantum level of who we are. We're energy. We're pulses and. We're electrical impulses and vibration. And so your thoughts are actually habits, patterns and habits of vibrational impulses, as are your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to work with yourself as this vibrational being, you're actually able to become, when you become conscious of a limiting belief,
mm-hmm.
and you realize it's just a pattern that's been playing out, you kind of stare it in the face and go, oh, there that is. There's that limiting belief and that limiting feeling that's suggesting that I'm less than I truly am.
Mm-hmm.
And in my book, Remembering Wholeness, I teach if all the lies and illusions that make you feel bad about who you are were really true, you actually wouldn't feel bad. You'd feel fulfillment, because whenever we're aligned with truth, we feel a sense of fulfillment. So to really grasp that, to say, when those negative and limiting thoughts and feelings present themselves, to actually consciously look at, to meet them with a consciousness and with love and say, that's a lie. That's not my truth. The truth of who I am is I'm, a whole person. My spirit nature is to be whole. I'm complete. All the answers are inside of me. I'm infinite. I'm all loving. That is the truth of who we are. But in our human experience, we've created an experience where we experience the opposite of that. And in the journey of our life, we get to claim that. We get to remember that wholeness. And I believe it really is a remembering. And I help people in that pursuit to work with their internal canvas, who they are in their internal self, to bring that truth alive and then live it.
That's interesting.
We work with a lot of techniques that work with thought processes. Tapping is one, energy tapping, rapid eye therapy, eye movement, because you're actually working with the frequencies, the brain frequencies, and the emotional impulses, the electrical impulses, to actually support those shifting to now be healthy patterns of feeling good.
Right. No, I was going to mention that basically what it is what the aura that we give out, because you're right, because we all, from the scientific standpoint of view, we have vibrations within us, and it's what kind of vibes that we give out to people.
Right.
And by nature, you're right, we may be a happy, wonderful person and everything else, but situationally, if we are not on top of it, for just that instance, I remember even in my book when one of my moms told me is that, the external appearance, you only have one chance to make a positive impression. And whether you like it or not, when you're walking down the street, when someone sees you, you impact their impression of you. And so if you know how you look or what state of mind that you're in, like you're talking about your energy that you're giving out, then obviously in total control of how you want to be presented to the world, basically. So that's very interesting. Well, what inspires you to write It's Just My Nature?
Well, I was put on a path as part of my journey to create a profiling system, having been introduced to some others that have and was never a profile junkie. I was never one to go on and say, I want to take those personality tests, who am I? It was seriously put in my path. And I discovered some things, and the story goes way back to I discovered a system my mother was using. Here we're talking about moms again. In 80, my mom she learned a program that was very interesting to me, that actually compared people to movement, to a natural expression in them. And I learned a few other systems out there, and I thought, these are, there's something going on here. And actually, it wouldn't leave me alone. It was kind of like I was again saying, God, do I not have enough to do here? I mean, I wasn't looking for a whole new, something in my profession to develop it. It was just basically I felt so strongly, Carol, you've been given this because it has such value. It will really help a lot of people, and you need to go with it. And it, I continued to develop it and develop it. And as I started to see the amazing impact it had on people, from the very early days, 5 years ago, I really started the process. And from the very beginning, I saw how readily it impacted people in understanding themselves. And now, coming from a career of having playing a role helping people know their truth and live their truth, to have a tool that could so quickly align them with truth and give them basically a roadmap, so to speak, to now live it with such ease was remarkable to me. Of anything I'd ever done, it was like, wow, this speaks to people quickly, easily, practically. And when they're ready, wow, it gives them such a tool to now help themselves. And that my motivation. I like it to be practical, and I like you to get results. That's my type 3 nature, and energy profiling delivers in a big way for people.
No, it does. I know that when I read your book, it's sort of like, it's very easy read, by the way. It really is. Yeah, it's very narrative. It's an easy read, and of course you have all the different examples, true examples in this case, case studies that you share, which is very, very interesting, and that always helps because then people can find the connection with real life, real people.
Right.
And of course, in your book, you reveal that you're a type 3 dominant and a type 4 secondary, and your overall numbers are 3, 4, 1, and 2. Let's talk a little bit about, explain to us the 4 energy profiles. Walk us through, what they are, basically.
Okay. The 4 energy types are representing the 4 elements that we're all created from and everything in this physical world is created from. And that's what's so beautiful about this. It has a scientific foundation to it. It's hard science. It makes sense because there's 4 elements that create everything, and those are nitrogen, oxygen, hydrogen, and carbon. And what you'll learn is that each of the 4 elements that I call an energy type, type 1 is nitrogen, type 2 is oxygen, type 3 is hydrogen, and type 4 is carbon, that although we have all 4 in us at a DNA level, at a very finite level, in a very minuscule amount, we lead with one of the 4.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I teach you the unique expression and character of each of the 4 elements as if they were standalone expressions, but yet they never are. They're always together. They're always working in partnership. But because we lead with one of the 4, there'll be a distinct influence from the dominant element that expresses through us in our personality, our behavior tendencies, our body language, our physical. One of the most amazing things for people is that it shows in our physical features, that there are symbols and physical features that are represented in people of each dominant type that are very classic for each type.
Mm-hmm.
I could know your dominant type just by looking at your picture and go,
wow, fantastic. I have to send you, a bunch of different pictures that this is my post and that's but that's very interesting, but it's true though, because because I think maybe it's what we put out to ourselves unknowingly, isn't it? I mean, it's something
it's a natural expression. What I teach, I call the title of the book is It's Just My Nature, because ironically, we use these phrases. We're giving clues to ourselves all over the place about that we are living this without knowing it. All energy profiling does is create a framework to identify with it and go, oh, that's what that is, because it's already there.
Mm-hmm.
So when you use the phrase, oh, they're a natural at it, or, oh, it's just your nature, or it's just my nature, no one's ever thought about, okay, why do you use that phrase? Why do you use that word nature?
Right.
What do you mean? We know what we mean is that it's effortless. It comes to you as a gift. It's a quality in you that you can express effortlessly when you're living truthfully to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, energy profiling gives you the catalyst of why it is your nature. It's because of your energy type.
Mm-hmm.
And you have natural gifts and qualities, each energy type does, that if you're living truthfully, you naturally are the benefactor of being able to live a life more effortlessly to achieve success and a life experience more freely because of your natural expression. And that's that's what you get when you live true to your nature.
No, that's very interesting, because I think then you are at ease, because I think we all, you had mentioned some, and this goes back again, I think, how it comes around, because when you're talking about where you had the meltdown and you have a situation where basically you're searching. Why
right.
In some ways, we go in the back of our mind, how are we different? Why are we behaving this way versus
right.
somebody else behaving that way? I mean.
Well, the most common feedback I get from people is, this has given me permission to be me.
That's correct.
And they know what me is now. They go,
right.
Oh, that's me. Because most people are, to certain degrees, it's variable, but everybody shames. The same quality that's your greatest gift has been shamed to be your greatest detriment and weakness. And then we
right.
take, in our childhood, that gets all created, that we're shamed and stifled in those movements. It's a natural movement. It's a natural expression that's personified in these different approaches to life and you know, what we do in life. Mm-hmm. But it's a movement. That's why I compare it to nature. You know, you don't look at
right.
the. I make the example in the book. You don't look at a willow tree that is a type 2 movement. It's fluid and flowing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very calming. It's very steady. And you don't compare that to the aspen tree or the quaking aspen and say,
mm-hmm.
which is a type 1 movement, which is it flitters and it's light and it flickers and it's more circular and has a lightness about it. You don't say the willow tree is less than the aspen.
Right.
You just experience them for what they are
mm-hmm.
without any judgment. And all in nature, we experience these four movements readily. We love it. We travel. We want to go experience it. And we embrace it and let it bless our lives. But the same movement in people gets shamed like crazy.
Did you discover this gradually as you were doing this upon yourself, or this is something that sort of just came upon you, just sort of an overnight revelation that you that you realized this?
The basic information was taught to me. There's other programs out there that have some.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to look at them, I talk about them in the book, and because mm-hmm. I get this question all the time, where'd you come up with this? And I said, well, I was introduced to some other systems, mm-hmm. other profiling systems that had some similar approach, but there was no, where did it come from? You know, what's creating all this? And that was revealed to me, that it was the four elements.
Mm-hmm.
Now, interestingly, God gave me a laboratory with my children. I have five children. They're all different energy types. My husband's
mm-hmm.
different than me. And early on, you know, the first year of this, I realized I've been given a laboratory in which to now learn this as
mm-hmm.
I study my family.
Mm-hmm.
And in my type 3 nature, I didn't wait till I had the book and everything, all the bells and whistles in place to take it out big.
Mm-hmm.
I started to sell it to people and have events where people came, you know, women primarily came and learned it.
Mm-hmm.
So that became a big laboratory for me. I started to use it in my work.
Mm-hmm.
And my type 3 nature is to jump in and get going with something and not wait till you think everything that other people might think needs to be in place is in place. Let's get
mm-hmm.
moving.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start to use it. And people have been, as I, you know, look at the awesome stories I have in the book from the people that have used the information, and it's been life-changing for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was what I was going to ask you, like, what sort of, you know, feedback when you get, was it something that, it's like an overnight situation here that they realize that there's this veil that's just lifted.
Yeah. It actually is for a lot of people. What I've learned is when you're really ready to go there, it's immediate. It's like all of a sudden you see yourself in a manner you've never, like, that's a good phrase. The veil's been lifted about who you just boom, now you see who you are. But then you get to practice loving it, living it, and noticing where it's been shamed and how you've judged it. And you get to practice the unfolding of the natural expression of you. And so the question I get from people is, they take it into their intellect and say, I need to figure out how to be me.
Mm-hmm.
Or, can you tell me how to go about this? They want some kind of a, you know, plan.
Step by step.
And I'm like, you know what? Wake up. The biggest thing is to just notice from your feelings, are you loving yourself or are you judging yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And as you notice that, you get to claim back your power from the lie that who you are is not good enough, or who you are is inappropriate, or who you are is not taken seriously, or every type has their pet issue, so to speak, their classic issue that's very universal within each type. That they are feeling ashamed of. And I talk about that in the book. They're all right there. I give it to you. It's like, hey, I've made it easy for you. Every type 1 fears they won't be taken seriously if they are true to their animated nature.
Right. But can someone change their type after the fact? I mean, now knowing that, you know, you are who you are, I mean, well, in the sense that your true nature, can someone make small paradigm shifts to better themselves? Because, you know, you can't say, oh, well,
definitely.
I mean, you know, I can't help it. This is who I am. That's a cop-out attitude, so to speak.
If you're not living your dominant energy type and you've diverted or you've conformed to your secondary, which
mm-hmm.
people do all the time,
mm-hmm.
you'll never be genuinely happy. You'll never
right.
have over-the-top success because you can't take a tree and try and conform it to be something it's not and expect it to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
You have to allow it to grow true to the nature of which it is, the expression of which it is. So,
mm-hmm.
sure, people can attempt to stifle themselves and be someone they're not. They're conforming themselves. So if you've done that in your life, definitely the reason this information's shown up to give you
mm-hmm.
the freedom and support to now live true to who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole motive in it, is to say, you're not a type 2. Start being your type 3 self, you know?
Right.
You're meant
right.
to be who you are. Go for it.
Well, I think also not only that, I mean, it's just a matter of, like, once you identify yourself, then you're more mindful.
Oh, definitely. I guarantee when you're ready, this stuff won't leave you alone.
Right, right.
It will be.
You're sort of being conscientious about things, you know. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And,
I've seen people that are scared of their dominant type that
mm-hmm.
try and pretend they're not who they are still, and it's usually an issue with a parent. That's
mm-hmm.
typical. Let's say you're a type 3. But you don't want to believe it because you had a very abusive, volatile type 3 dad, and that's your
right.
reference to that expression. And you think,
right.
ew, you know, you don't want to be that because
precisely
you have experienced a very violent expression of the energy, and that's your take on it. And
mm-hmm.
so, yes, I've seen that where people have attempted to refute, you know, it's no, that's not me, and try
mm-hmm.
and convince themselves they're not that. When really it's a huge opportunity to heal some very old wounds from your childhood and
right.
to note that every movement, every energy type is a beautiful gift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're all meant to be honored and loved and offered as an expression that blesses everyone.
It's very interesting. I enjoyed reading your book, and now I'm going to tell you what my numbers are. I'm a 4213.
Okay.
A 4213,
right.
based on what I've read. But what's interesting was when I read number one, I say, hey, I'm that. And I read number two, hey, I'm that. And I read number three, hey, I'm that too. And then I finally got to number four, and then I said, well, I'm definitely that. And what I would think, looking back now, I mean, at this moment in time, I think four and two is sort of intertwined quite nicely with each other. But I
mm-hmm.
realized that over the years, I believe that situations have always drawn out the different types out
definitely.
Of me appropriately. And then not only that, I had the opportunity to sort of reflect back, and I think as a child, I was probably more type 3 dominant in terms
mm-hmm.
of being aggressive and everything else. And then as someone pointed out to me, and then all of a sudden, you know, that sort of a type 2 comes in where, I got to be a little bit more mindful. I got to have a big heart, very conscientious about people's feelings and everything else. And then I realized that this is what I like. Now, I don't know whether that's just my nature, but it's just that then I'm starting to be more aware of other people. And so in the course of, maturity and growing up, the numbers shifted. Can that really happen?
Well, I think you're different. You have all four elements in you, so you're going to have attributes and qualities in the expression of who you are that come
mm-hmm.
from all four.
Mm-hmm.
So you're noticing that life gives us opportunities to develop the parts of us that are underdeveloped possibly,
mm-hmm.
but that's
mm-hmm.
not to say that it ever took over or became the dominant nature of you.
Mm-hmm.
Your
mm-hmm.
dominant type 4 nature is to be very exact about life, very just naturally you offer structure to the world, and you operate in a very structured way that you move forward with Your gift is to perfect the world. You look at, you see the world through a critical eye, and you're able to see what could be made better, what could be improved. And you see the bigger picture. You're very aware of the bigger scenario. You take it in quickly and very concisely line it all up to move forward in a straightforward manner to an outcome. Very
right.
clear on where you stand on things. And so I believe that's always been your dominant nature.
Mm-hmm.
You've just had opportunities to develop other aspects of who you are in different phases of your life so that you're not overly type 4, because you can see that if you're not balanced,
right.
it'd be difficult to be just a type 4 person, because it, there would not be any softness there. There would not
That's
be
right.
any lightness of heart or, you know, aggressive, you know, going for it. You would just
right.
be someone that, you know, everything would have to be so perfect in your world, you couldn't move forward.
Right, right.
So you need the other three to make sure you don't become extreme in your one
right,
gift,
right,
in your
right.
in your one dominant expression.
Right, in either one, in either of the four types, I mean, you can't be just single out as being extreme, because it's the balancing act, and I agree, because you talk about the yin and yang and the balance of the positive, and I guess there's no positive and negative energy, but this is in a good way, but the yin and yang with the strength and the softness, the hardness and the softness. And I agree,
right.
situationally, I've always seen myself, great, you see this big, clear picture. You got to move this entire group from point A to point B, but at the same time, you got to use the softness of two, the diplomatic way of doing things to get it accomplished.
Right.
and so that's why I feel like, wow, it's intermingled with one another. And if you're
I
able
think if
to
you'll
find
you'll trust too, your people learn that trust the quality of who you are in your dominant nature to really
uh-huh.
lead the show of your life. Really mm-hmm. let it be your shining star. Let it be the
right.
lead of who you are, and all the others will align to support you. The other elements all align so you're in balance. As you trust that
mm-hmm.
as a type 4, you have a sense of being your own authority.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that that's your right and privilege, that you don't give that to others readily. And
mm-hmm.
when people show up in your world and say, assume or try to inject themselves as an authority over you, it's not well received.
Right.
And that's okay. You shouldn't accommodate that. Not that you should, you know, type 4s usually have to, they can be very blunt,
mm-hmm.
very, you know, just say it how it is, because your world is very black and white.
Mm-hmm.
But in this consciousness now to know, I'm meant to be my own authority, I don't relegate that to people, and I'm going to deal with this accordingly in a
right.
manner that's respectful.
Mm-hmm.
But to think that somehow that's, to dismiss that as a weakness or something that's extreme is not extreme.
Right, right.
My son is a dominant type 4, and he's
mm-hmm.
20. He's close, he's almost 22, and he's
mm-hmm.
recently become engaged, and
mm-hmm.
he had a little kind of, he got thrown off his type 4 track in the engagement process when his girlfriend found out the ring was coming early, and she wasn't supposed to know about that, and all of a sudden she's encouraging him
mm-hmm.
to propose earlier, and he had already in his mind set it in place how he was going to do that,
right,
and he was
right.
frustrated now. He didn't know what to do, because he didn't want to disappoint her.
Right.
And
right.
he came to me, and he said, Mom, I just feel frustrated. I'm not even motivated to do this now. I feel I'm stuck. And I said,
yeah,
okay,
the wind
Mark,
is out of the sail, yeah.
Yeah, well, what happened is I spoke to him in a type 4 way. I said, Mark,
right.
you operate by the rules.
Right.
And the rules are of engagement are the guy gets to choose when to propose.
Right.
And those are the rules you're operating by. And now you're getting in a position where you think you're being asked to change those rules, and that doesn't
right.
work in your world.
Right.
And I encouraged him to go speak to her and explain all. She's read my book, and they both understand. She's a type 1. He's a type 4. See,
mm-hmm.
so change of plan was no big deal in her world.
That's right.
This is change of plan. But he was able to then have a conversation about it and say, okay, this is how it works for me, and this is
right.
why it's important to me. And she was cool with it and honored that, and they moved forward, and he they're now engaged. And but you see the advantage I had to help him as a mom
right.
You know, I didn't want to change who he was to adapt to a situation. I wanted him to understand this is who you are.
Right.
Live and honor it. Go forward, trusting it.
Right.
You know, her nature, honor it. Communicate about it. It'll all get resolved, and it did really effortlessly.
Right. Well, I think the key word you mentioned just now is communication, because it's okay to be who you are. But if you communicate effectively and people understand where you're coming from, because what happens is that when you are silent, then they will read what they think they need to read out of you.
Well, and again, it's a perfect scenario where in his type 4 nature, he could have judged his need to play more by the rules, that's who he is, as he understands them, to be excessive and try and minimize that, which would only, again, what happened is we repress the natural expression of us, and it comes out somewhere. It has to come out. It builds up, and it's an energy that has to be released, and it'll come out in the most crazy places that it's not even justified, but because we pent it up, because we don't understand.
Right.
So really, the energy profiling gives you such an advantage in the experience of communication to understand a core nature of people and to communicate effectively in honoring of that.
Right, and that's what I gather from when I read your book. I think these are the things that I've gone through myself in the various checks and balances, because then you realize that the goal is bigger than Johnny and the people around it. So if this is what you want to get accomplished, and this is the technique you got to do. So not knowingly, I have been moving, sliding back and forth from the 4, the 2, the 1, and the 3, because situationally, you know, you have to do what you got to do to get it done. And so,
and I suggest stay true to your 4, stay in that as the lead of who you are, complementing with the type 2 nature of being sensitive and the type 1 nature of being more playful and light. But lead with the 4, with those being the accents, so to speak. Don't switch over to them. Don't think you have to be. Actually, a type 4 can't come across as a type 1. It's an effort that can never be achieved. If you remember, a perfect example of this is on the last season of American Idol, one of the contestants named Megan was very beautiful, striking blonde. And she had the big tattoo on her arm, and she was a type 4. And she tried to present herself as a 1, to be cute and playful. And she came across, she was irritating. And her humor, because she's a type 4, her humor was blunt. And it wasn't received well. And she got herself voted. She just didn't make it because she wasn't living her truth in her presentation. And she tried to be someone she's not. And we feel that in people. We feel this. We're not at ease. We feel this like, oh, I can't watch this, or, oh, this is making me uncomfortable. This isn't right. And that's where it's coming from.
I think if you're forcing a round peg in a square hole, that's what you'll get. And you're very right about that. And it's true, because I've been very fortunate, to be honest with you, because like even in this case, because I'm able to, I relate this as situationally, as in like I'm able to talk to my various moms. I know I can't talk to mom 1, I can't talk to my Southern Belle mom, I can talk to my Texan Earthly mom. She kind of gets me straight. And then if I can't talk to her, I'll talk to my Cajun mom. And they kind of work me in and make me realize that, okay, this is how, and it's like what you're doing with your son. And so that helps me to understand this is beyond me, it's this, the situation. So in order for you to achieve, what's the end in mind you have here? You know, and that's how you make the adjustments accordingly to accommodate everyone, including yourself, and not feeling bad about it, because the end result is far more important than anything else. And so that's how you resolve
issues.
Yeah. So let's talk about dressing your truth. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, at the same time I was developing energy profiling, one of the motives was once you know your profile, I've created a system called Dressing Your Truth that once you understand your dominant energy type, and we teach energy profiling as an innate movement, a natural expression that is moving and expressing as you, through you, and when you see it as movement, you understand that clothing and what women put on their body, especially as jewelry and accessories and makeup and hair color and style, mm-hmm. is movement. And now we can match in the Dressing Your Truth program, we can teach you the movement that will bring out the greatest beauty that you behold. And when you see our before and after pictures, hands down, I know you can't refute me. You go, this woman's on to something, because it's clearly obvious in our before and after pictures that the beauty that's brought forward when a woman is dressing her truth. And there's five, I discovered that there were five elements that movement was created in clothing, and their design line, texture, fabrication, pattern, and color. All of those five elements create movement. And we teach, once if you're a dominant type 2, we teach you a program, a whole, you're given a toolkit, basically, that gives you the skills to choose what you put on your body that honors the movement of who you are internally. The true nature of who you are in your inner self is now being expressed and made visible to the world in your outer expression. And, of course, you're going to look the most beautiful when you're dressing your truth. It just only can bring out your pure beauty.
I see.
And women, you know, it's interesting because I've discovered, I've never been in the fashion industry. I now am, so to speak, I'm kind of the fashion rebel, because I've learned fashion teaches you have to put beauty on.
Right.
And dressing your truth teaches you how to naturally bring it out. And so many women are just layered with false, the myths of fashion, I call them, that would suggest if you follow these myths that you will be beautiful. And they don't work for the majority of women, because they don't speak to the innate nature of who a woman is.
Yeah, because they're accessorizing themselves with the wrong thing. Well, let me answer this now. How about guys?
Well, we have the Dressing Your Truth for Men. We teach, we have taught men in live events. We are, you know, my audience is very global. I have a big presence in the internet world online. Mm-hmm. And so I knew in order to have this information be far-reaching, both energy profiling and Dressing Your Truth, I had to produce them to be online learning resources. And we launched the online, I just released my book, It's Just My Nature, and our online energy profiling course, which is at myenergyprofile.com. That launched April 21st. And thousands of people have gone through that course to date. And very inexpensive. We've made it very easy for people to buy the course and buy the book. When you buy the online course, you actually own it and can share it with the members of your household. So it becomes actually very affordable, because it's not price specific per person. And we're just about to launch our online Dressing Your Truth courses. August 18th is our launch date at dressingyourtruth.com, where you can learn this remarkable system of wardrobing. And we did make it women-specific, because women are more inundated with the myths of fashion and poor information, and very few women have a good toolkit to bring out their natural beauty. They aren't knowing what to do. And so we chose women to be our primary audience, because they have the greater need, plus they have more that goes into it. And I would imagine we'll take our online courses for men. That's probably, we've talked about launching that next year, because that'll be pretty easy to do, because men, it's easy to teach guys how to do this.
We're very simple, right?
No. You don't wear earrings, and you're not putting on makeup. Some men venture into that, but the majority of men we're dealing with clothing, shoes, a watch, a belt, and a hairstyle, you know,
ties.
I will say to you, as a type 4, you're the only energy type that can hold black. And black and white are your signature colors, full-on black and full-on white. Yeah, because your nature is constant and still, and pure black and pure white are the stillest of color.
I do enjoy wearing colors, though. I do enjoy wearing colors.
No, you, but see, you get to wear the most bold of colors, too.
Wear,
your color palette is the most bold and the most poignant. Believe me, you wear colors nobody could wear. If anybody else wear them, you'd say, wow, look at that shirt. On you, we see you, because your presence is bold and authoritative, and your words for your own attractiveness would be, when dressing your truth, you're very striking and stunning people. Mm-hmm. Jackie Onassis is one of our, and Audrey Hepburn are two of our signature type fours that actually dressed very true to their type four nature and stood out. They personified who they are. They have a very stylized class. You know, they're known to be kind of as fashion icons as women. Mm-hmm. And they were dressing their truth most of the time.
Okay, so I got to go shopping this afternoon then.
Well,
and get all those bold colors and say, hey, this is me here now.
Yes, you can be seen. You can be type fours when dressing their truth. Always stand out in a crowd. You'll be the first seen, and ironically for your nature, you're not particularly interested unless you're playing a role where you want the attention. You don't particularly like it randomly where the attention is drawn to you. But
no, I don't. And you're right about that. And that's the thing I was talking about. You know, it's like it's kind of it's a mixed bag, because like I know in the sense that I've done a lot of creative things in my life, you know, whether it's charity or different events and whatnot. I'm the guy that's behind the curtain. I'm the director behind the curtain, and I let everybody else get the accolades. But when the spotlight hits me, I don't feel good about it.
I know,
because it's not about me, it's about somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, if you're in a position like giving a speech or doing something where you're leading a group, you're fine taking that role because you've chosen it. My son came home one day from high school. This is the same son. It's a type 4, and he said, that was the worst day of my life. I said, what happened? He said, I walked into the lunchroom and all my friends started singing happy birthday to me out of nowhere. He says, Mom, all I could do is turn around and walk out. Because all those eyes on him was just like, I can't do this.
And I've always felt uncomfortable about that too, no doubt about it.
Very uncomfortable. And yet, people, because they don't know this quality of him, that's perceived as being kind of arrogant, snobbish. And high school is typically a very type 1 environment,
sure.
And type 4s can't play games. They don't put on an act.
Right.
If they're living, you know. And so Mark's life started at the day he graduated.
No, but what's interesting about it, though, I enjoy being the leader who puts the birthday party for someone. I mean, totally blow the socks off of someone or whatever you want to call it, right? But when it comes to me, oh, God, nobody's going to know when my birthday is or this or that or whatever.
Right. Don't do that to me. Do not give me a surprise party.
That's right. It's quite the opposite, so it's quite interesting.
Right.
Let's talk about something that's very interesting here, because we've talked about our minds, taking care of our minds. We talked about taking care of our soul. And now I'd like to talk about taking care of our body temple. And what fascinates me about you, and just reading about you, what you're doing and everything else, just makes me weak in the knee. Not that I'm a softie or anything like that, but I've never got into running. But you are a marathon runner, and you have done that with John, your husband, for a long time. And now that you're transitioning to being a triathlete, how is that going?
Actually, I love it, because marathon running is a huge commitment. And I'll be honest, I really have never loved running. I'm not sure what came over me in that stint of marathon running. I'm a type 3, and we tend to go big fast, and we tend to then burn out. We push ourselves, and then we kind of burn out and say, I don't want to do this anymore. And that was pretty classic what I did with marathon running. Before I knew my profile and who I am, I just was living myself without the reference I now have. In 2001, I started marathon running. I'd never run more than 5 miles in my life, but it was a spiritual journey for me to do something I never believed possible. And I honestly, before there, I remember the day I considered doing it, and my next thought was, there's no way. That'd be impossible for me to run 26.2 miles. Mm-hmm. And I honestly, I noticed that. I noticed the belief that I had. And my husband and I then went on to train and prepare ourselves for our first marathon in 2001, which was an epiphany for me. It was a beautiful experience for me. I was in tears the last mile of the race. I was overcome by the fact that I'd done this. And because I had, and I, in my practical nature, I said, well, I'm already training. I've already done it. Let's keep going. And I went on to run 15 more marathons in 4.5 years. And I just kept doing it and doing it and doing it. And then one day, it was just too much. I realized I didn't have to work. I didn't have to do something that wasn't as natural for me as for other people, because I'm not built like a runner, and I've never been a runner naturally. It took a lot of commitment on my part. And so I've always loved swimming. I've been a swimmer for years. My daughter said, Mom, let's do a triathlon. Mm-hmm. And then all I needed was a bike. I got myself a bike, and I started to train for that. And I've now switched over to the shortest distance because I like to compete. I like to train for events, but I don't want them to be so extreme that they require more than an hour a day, which would for me be a typical fitness routine anyway. So now I do sprint distance triathlons, and I watch it so I don't overdo it. I'm more careful about that I keep it in check so that it's fun and I don't go extreme on it. And this summer, I've done three. I've got one more coming up, and I'm just having fun with it. And it's a funny thing because you look at what people are drawn to naturally, because we can profile people by their physical features, 98% of the women at triathlons are type 3.
Wow.
I'm like, well, it makes sense. It really speaks to them. And about 80% of the men are type 3. So if you want to hang out with a lot of type 3s, go do a triathlon because they're all there.
That's fantastic. We're coming to the end of the show. As all for all my guests that I have on the show, do you have a recipe for living that you would like to share with our listeners this morning?
Well, my recipe as a mother is to own your mistakes, to own them that you never intended to, but to be accountable. That's been one of my greatest qualities as a mom, that I've been willing to be accountable with my children, to be very honest, and to be very open in our communication, and to always own my choices, take responsibility for them with a desire to change. And we have very accountable relationships. My children are the same then. Their quality of what they bring to the relationship is one of, they're accountable as well. And we have very easy relationships. And the communication is very effortless. So be accountable, you know, own your stuff.
That's true. It's very true. I mean, thank you. That's a great recipe, because I think from accountability and accepting the fact that life is not perfect and we're not perfect, that sets a whole new stage, you know, what we can do.
Yeah.
And so that makes.
Well, and I like to tell people we're perfect in that we make mistakes, and the point of that is it's a process of learning the truth of who we are and practicing that truth every day of our lives. And it's fine, but just own it. And if you got to feel guilt, feel the guilt and move on, you know.
Carol, thank you for the great recipe and for spending this hour with me from My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us this morning. Please join me next Tuesday morning as we continue on our theme from My Mama's Kitchen Recommends. My guest will be Stephanie Duckworth Elliott. She's a mom, author, educator, and a member of the Wampanoag tribe of Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts. We'll be discussing her life's journey and her new book, Panasequa, the Goddess of the Waters, and is about a little girl's journey to self-discovery, which serves as a wonderful, inspiring story for everyone. For additional information, please check From My Mama's Kitchen, talkradio.com, johnnytan.com, my personal blog, and also on From My Mama's Kitchen. You can also follow me on Twitter, twitter/ FMMK Talk Radio. And thank you again for listening, and have a great week. Carol, thank you again, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.